Welcome to the Kayak Mainline Podcast. David's no officer, and I'm certainly no gentleman. And folks, you've got nowhere else to go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on the Kayak Mainline Podcast. I am Kelly Blades, your host, and this, as always, with me is...
David Johnston.
Can you give that a little more pep?
Oh, David Johnston.
It doesn't mean get closer. It means give it a little more pep. Let's hear it.
Give it lots of pep.
Pep, I love your pep, but give it some more.
David Johnston.
Why are you sitting back so weird?
Shut up.
This is so odd. So
How I sit.
Is this how you do it at home?
We never record in real life.
So, folks,
I'm usually at home, like, you know, right
just crying to yourself in a closet.
Yelling at the kids.
That's cool. So this is our very first live podcast that we are going to do. And actually, this is also the very first time that we have ever sat next to one another.
I know, it's awesome.
So he can see me roll my eyes and cry.
And this is episode 19.
Is it 19? Excellent. And we have a live audience.
Should sound bigger.
Yeah, try to sound bigger. For those of you listening, they had one guitar. So for those of you listening at home, we have 17,000 people. We filled an arena here up in Grand Marais, Michigan. We are at the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium. We talk about it all the time in the podcast.
Yep.
And now we're actually recording about it at the actual event. This is fantastic.
Who would have thought? Because I certainly didn't.
No, this is the stuff of dreams.
Definitely not my dreams.
It's magical.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic. And with us, as you know, we've talked about before, Captain Canada himself. Dave, we're here in the United States.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And David was a little afraid that the American audience might be coarse towards him.
Yeah.
So he had to bring up two Canadians with him.
I need an entourage. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, you do actually need an entourage. Yeah. And joining us is someone we've interviewed on the podcast before, Mr. Eric Ogar.
Allô, bonjour.
What was that?
Allô, bonjour.
You're not French Canadian.
No.
But say it again, because it makes it sound all international.
Allô, bonjour.
Hello, bonjour. Allô?
Allô.
Am I doing that right?
Perfect. Allô?
Perfect. Okay. Cool. And the man, the myth, the legend that will last a lunchtime, Ray Boucher.
Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Ray got applause, and Eric didn't, and I didn't.
You didn't. I think we all know, because Ray is 7 feet tall and once killed a Yeti with one blow.
It's true.
He's that guy. We have over 100 people here at this event this year, which is great, and Ray taught them all.
Taught them all.
Every last one of them. The rest of us just stood back and watched in awe.
In one class.
That's the kind of guy he is. So thank you very much for joining us, live audience. I love this. We are going to get some questions from the live audience. They can be kayak related.
Think of them now.
Yeah, start thinking. We've got one guy yawning, which is good. This really makes us a good friend of ours is yawning. And we also have children. Excuse me, little girl. Have you ever heard what is called a swear word? Never, not at your home? I know your father, you have. He says they're...
He's cursing right now.
He says they're madman words, but that's what they are. So we might... we're going to try to keep it clean here as much as we possibly can. So we've got families. We've got people from all over the world, literally the world here.
Yeah.
If that world is the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly.
And Canada.
Yeah.
Cool. So, David, what did you do? We're here at the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium. What did you do today? What did you do this weekend?
I did some paddling. I did some tours. I did some teaching. I did change lives, but I was generally a disappointment to all.
You were generally a disappointment to all. Cool.
Yeah. So I met all expectations.
Good. He is, for those of you, can you agree with me, live audience? He is literally the Axl Rose of the kayak world.
I'm fat and late for everything.
Yep. Yeah. And he continually puts everything off for 20 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. Eric Ogar, Captain Canada as you are, how was your day? What kind of lives did you change today?
Many lives, but specifically just seven.
Just seven. Now, when I say change lives, meaning you saved them from peril or?
Saved from peril and greatly broadened horizons.
Greatly.
Greatly.
Broadened horizons. Yes. This is why we have you here, because you're a great color man. I feel like I was with you on those classes with that description.
I know you're with me.
Oh, fabulous. Some people have Jesus as their co-pilot. You have me. That was brilliant.
We all
and,
do.
And the magical and immortal Ray Boucher. How was your weekend? How do you find...
It's not over yet.
It's not over. We got one, more this magic. Is Saturday night.
There is more magic to come.
Saturday night. And we've got one more day of magic.
One more day of magic.
We do like the magic. Cool. Well, thanks for asking, guys. My weekend was great.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Wait, we're going to do better. Wait. How was your weekend?
Oh, I wasn't done answering the question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
go
right.
ahead, Ray.
Please tell us how your weekend was.
For those of you listening at home, Ray is now angry.
Yeah.
And as he is 7'3".
It's like a surly drunk.
And right? once punched a narwhal so hard, it de-evolved.
I'm sulking now.
It's thank you. That was an actual that was a live laugh. That's how it works, kids. So
man, it's so refreshing.
Yeah, it's weird
to know we've got an audience.
Normally, it's just my dog staring at me at the house. So tell us more about your day, Ray. 7'4".
Day was magical. It was lives were changed. I watched Eric doing it. David Johnson changed lives as well. I watched.
All right.
I was a witness to the whole thing.
We're all super vague.
Yeah. Thank you. We're not going to tell you what we did.
No.
They changed lives. I changed a diaper, so that's good. There's a small child in the front.
Was that yours?
It wasn't my diaper. Well, it depends. Thank you. That's an adult diaper joke. You won't find that in many other kayak podcasts. So, David, we got a lot to cover tonight.
Yep.
We're here, Northern Michigan. For those of you who don't know, Northern Michigan, it's actually called the UP, the Upper Peninsula. And if you can imagine, as I've said before in the podcast, the middle of nowhere, we're 23 miles north of that.
It really is.
We're in God's country.
Well, I don't even get cell coverage, so I don't think it is.
Oh, God would have cell coverage?
Yeah.
Cool.
God doesn't need cell coverage.
Oh, wow. God doesn't need cell coverage. We're proselytizing now.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, if God ate cheese and drank bad beer, this would be God's country.
This would be it.
I think. So,
but
cool.
It's been a big week for paddling news.
Huge week for paddling news. So tonight, folks, you guys at home, for us here at the podcast, we're going to do, you know, you guys can't live without your news stories, can you? Wow. They take a cue really well. Holy crap.
Like one of those paid infomercials.
What? I can get chicken cooked a different way?
This is why certainly it's going to stick to that pan, sir.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. I'll take four. But wait, there's more. You also get a set of Ginsu knives. Hi, Andrew. That's the baby I changed the diaper on right there.
Oh, you're such a trooper.
Look at him. He's adorable.
All right, let's get to some news this
week.
We're
going to get to some news because you can't live. We are, for those of you who don't know, the premier source of kayaking news for those of you who listen to this podcast.
And those who do listen know we actually don't talk about kayaking.
Yeah.
So
okay, give me some new
let's go to our first story. This is a groundbreaking, just came in off the press. I'll read you the headline. Noah's Ark crashes into Coast Guard vessel. Brought to you by GCaptain.com.
GCaptain?
Yeah.
How, what kind of sites are you looking at?
Well,
because that sounds like an adult website.
So let's read it again, because I don't think he got the whole thing. So Noah's Ark crashes into Coast Guard
vessel.
Stop
for a second. I got to say, I think I got the whole thing. Noah's Ark crashes into a Coast Guard vessel. I think pretty much the headline is solid.
Usually you don't, so I wasn't used to this.
Let's hear that.
All right, so a 230-foot-long replica of Noah's Ark collided with a Norwegian Coast Guard vessel as it arrived in Oslo, Norway, causing damage to both ships.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
So,
how many animals were hurt?
The article did say at the end, good news, media reports said that no animals were on board when the collision occurred.
Wow, that's
I love the fact that the article did step that. Silence that child.
Put his foot deeper in his mouth. Just get that in there.
So, yeah, so the they did say it's an exact wooden replica.
What are you thinking about? That's a gin and tonic talking, kids, right there.
Oh, you're terrible. Okay, so it was built by a carpenter named Johan. He dreamed of a flood in his hometown, decided to build an ark.
Why wouldn't you? Everyone wants to do that.
So, but they say somehow the boat lost control as it was coming into the harbor, smashed into the boat, the Coast Guard boat. The boat, you know, it's like us hitting a copper car.
Except
how
we would have
control. Is it motorized? Does it have a sail?
It's an arc. It travels around on its own. I don't know. The article was vague on details and big up on non-details.
Did you even look into the Bible to find out what goes on with an arc? I'm not even certain you did your research.
I'm not sure this is news at all.
Is
no.
JC this
at
is the news part here. Okay, let's
rumor.
This is rumor. Okay.
Yeah. They said the plan was to bring the vessel across the Atlantic to Rio de Janeiro for the Olympic Games this summer, but due to the damage, they might have to scrap the whole thing.
So, a giant wooden boat built by a drunk
with no motor
with
and no,
no
sail.
Power was going to make its way to Rio.
I just read the news. I don't interpret
from
it.
Norway.
From Norway, that's not a short trip.
No, no,
that is fantastic.
Well, the photo on the article is funny. It's just kind of like the side of the boat is all just ripped out, and there's some guy just standing there.
So, how does the Coast Guard?
Wow, there's like
our production value just went up right there.
Yeah, they have guides to tell them what to do.
Cool. So this Coast Guard vessel.
Yeah.
Why was it interfering? That's what I wanted.
It wasn't doing anything. It was just sitting there doing it, minding its own business, and the Ark just comes plowing in. I got to save the people.
Again, how fast is an Ark? Anybody know how fast an Ark goes?
3.5 knots.
Dressel, you're making that up. I appreciate it, though. You are making
it
up.
I mean, he was sleeping minutes ago, and now he's fully on board.
Okay, so we got some wise ass here who's like a physics teacher.
Yeah. 3.17 times the square root of the water line.
There you go. Good. So it's moving. 4 knots.
Almost good.
We'll call it 4. We'll call that 4 knots. Good.
So apparently Norway's all a fluster over the whole thing.
Why would all of Norway care?
Everyone?
Well, apparently Oslo cares.
Okay.
And in particular, some guy in the harbor cares.
So, well, I'm sure the Coast Guard cares.
Yeah.
They just wrecked a boat with an ark.
Yeah. But they're still investigative, are trying to figure out what's going on.
What do you have to do to investigate that? It's a giant wooden boat that runs. Okay.
So are the animals still waiting?
No, good news. They're still in a holding pattern. They're just traveling around.
They're just waiting?
No, they didn't pick up the animals yet. Good, because that could have been ugly.
I don't know where they're getting them all. They're shipping them all into Norway to then get on the boat? I don't know.
Are we just learning about this as we go?
No, it's right there.
All right.
All right, so let's go on to the next piece.
All right.
Oh. I was not anticipating.
This is good stuff. We should do this more.
Yeah. We should record just the applause.
Yep, that's it.
And we'll sub it in.
It should be 10 minutes worth of applause. For those of you who missed all the other...
Okay. So when I was in grade 7, I did a project, some dumb independent project. And so me and another friend who
you built a volcano, didn't you?
He was not as humorous as I was for sure. So we decided to do a comedy routine, and we knew nobody would actually pay attention to it. So we laughed for 10 minutes and made our own laugh track. So we'd tell a little story and bah, we'd hit pause on the old cassette player. It was pretty good.
Okay.
Grade 7.
All right, then. Grade 7, you made your own laugh track.
Yeah, that was great. It totally was.
What's that?
I'm hearing crickets.
Yeah, exactly. Too bad you didn't bring that laugh track with you.
Right.
That would have been good right now. Put it on the old cassette. All right.
The old the next one found. This one's even a bigger story, and you guys should be concerned about this. Or actually, Atlantis has been found.
What? Atlantis has been
Atlantis.
Found?
Atlantis. It's been officially found.
Where was it found?
As an 8.5 mile pyramid was discovered at the bottom of the ocean last week.
Did Patrick Duffy discover it?
No, Jacques
the
Cousteau.
From Atlantis.
Jacques Cousteau discovered this.
Some dead guy.
The ghost of Jacques Cousteau.
I tell you, I have been looking for the elusive Atlantis for quite some time.
Let's get to the hard facts here. Yeah, seriously, I didn't tell. So some guy, what was his name? So they feel they found the mythological city of Atlantis.
I was going to say.
Just in the Pacific Ocean, just west of Mexico, which is French for Mexico.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to ask. You said bonjour. Is that real true? Really true?
Okay. So some guy was scouting around on the old Google Earth, looking at pictures of the ocean. And he found what looks like a volcano down there. And they measured it out somewhere between 3.5 to 11 miles across. Experts have weighed in on it, and they feel that it's definitely either Atlantis or some other sunken city, a UFO, or an alien base.
Okay.
These are experts. What sort of expert?
Do you ever follow up on these things to find out what sort of experts these are?
Well, this was printed in a reputable
paper.
Some
dude named Ray Ray.
No. It was Scott C. Warren. He's an alien conspiracy theorist.
Okay. Alien conspiracy theorist says for sure that's got to be Atlantis.
He wasn't the one who discovered it. He's just analyzing the facts, presenting them to us. Here's a quote.
This guy should move out of his mom's basement.
Yeah. It's a perfect pyramid that measures 8.5 miles across on the side. On one side, that's a conservative estimate. It could be up to 11. He suggested that it could symbolize an ancient civilization or something alien.
Or something alien.
But the article said it talked about Atlantis, so I'm going to pretend it's Atlantis.
Okay, so we'll say Atlantis.
The article took a weird twist about halfway through.
So they found Atlantis.
Yeah.
In Mexico.
No, they found it on Google Earth.
Offshore. That,
offshore, 11, off, about 100 kilometers off Mexico. So we're going to go there.
East or west?
We are going to go there.
I don't know. North, south, east? East.
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 In the Gulf?
Yeah, in the Gulf.
So in the Gulf of Mexico, they found Atlantis.
Yeah.
And it's only like 8 miles wide. The mythical town, the mythical city, the bastion of all modern civilization is 8 miles wide.
Yep.
And in Mexico.
It's a pyramid. How could we go wrong?
I got an
idea. We all know the pyramids were made by the aliens, so they made this one.
Do we all know that?
Just another sign.
We all know that.
Prove me wrong right now.
Okay, you got me.
Give me 19 examples. You can't do it.
Can anyone prove him wrong about the alien thing? This lady can. Right? No, he can't.
Is that where the ark was going?
Well, oh, that's good. What's that?
Mexico.
Aliens. Aliens.
It's a direct quote.
We've got a confirmation from a lady with awesome hair.
Yep.
With red hair, so we got to trust her that aliens are on this earth.
They have descended.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to the real elephant in the room.
Okay. Talk.
Let's talk about that race today.
Wait, no, we can't talk about it.
We have to talk. I can't go on.
Ooh. You can't go on. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, all these folks know that we have the Grand Marais race today.
Yes.
And as usual, the Grand Marais race was fraught.
Yes, it was terrible.
With hijinks and chicanery.
Yeah.
And tomfoolery. And cheatery.
Lay it out for us exactly what happened. How'd the race go down?
Well,
I can't talk about it.
Okay, so let me explain what you need to know about this race. David lost because he's a suckhole and he cheated.
I did not.
You did.
I did not.
You did cheat.
I was...
Round of applause if you think David cheated.
I did not cheat. Okay. So here's what happened, is you gotta paddle this little boat, you gotta go around some, what are they called, sailboats.
David, it's called a kayak.
Yeah, right.
It's in the name of the damn podcast.
So we're going around the kayak, I go to take the last, no, around the sailboat, and the last point is a boat, it's called Mojo, it's gonna burn in my dreams for years. And what happened, the wind moved the boat slightly, and I had to go on the inside of it for fear that I would scratch it.
So what you're saying is David Johnston.
Yeah.
Kayak extraordinaire from Paddle Canada cannot miss a boat.
It was swinging left and right, 100 feet an hour.
Right.
All over.
So what you're really admitting...
There's
this
a
is
joke
a,
there somewhere.
Yeah. This is a cry for help. You're saying that you're not very good at kayaking. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. But think of the
and
children.
Cheater.
I was partnered with a little girl. She should have won.
Yep. The other little girl won.
No,
why do you hate babies in the troops, David?
Also as a consequence of cheating and chicanery.
And also as a consequence...
But Ray, you were cheated out of it, too. Tell us about it.
I raced fair and square, except for the drogue chute attached to the back of my boat.
The what?
What?
The drogue chute.
The drogue chute. That's the first time
I can verify that.
Yep. Yeah, so
what happened? Somebody was trying to cheat?
He was...
I was not the only cheater.
There was a...
Why was he even a cheater?
I was not cheating at all. I was
you just admitted it.
There was something called a saboteur.
Vive la saboteur. Blah, blah, blah. Is that French? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Let's get someone from the audience to weigh in on this. Patrick, get up
here. Does anybody have Patrick? No, you sit down. I don't like you. Wrestler... No, because he's going to talk. I love Patrick Rota with all my heart and half my lungs. But we're going to call him up to talk about his
solo.
Oh yeah, you're on the
so,
later. Okay.
You know what we should do is actually talk to the winner of the race.
I'm right here,
Mr. Chris Dressler.
Chris, come on up. Come on up.
Here,
bring it home.
Bring it home.
This is intro music here. All right, we've got a guest. Come on down.
Come on, first.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Here, I'll move down.
Are we still talking about Atlantis?
No.
What are we doing?
We're talking about how you won the race.
Walk us through the race from your perspective, because I don't think there was any cheating.
Well, the conditions were tough, and we knew that going in.
They were tough.
And you know, Samantha was...
A cheater.
Well, she's 30 pounds. And what do you weigh?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're
40?
Bigger, yeah. So you've got 10 pounds on her, right? You're in similar equipment. And
what do you mean by similar equipment? This is a little girl we're
doing. Current, not equipped similarly, in similar equipment.
Okay.
Current Designs, as I recall, is originally a Canadian brand.
Yeah, you're right.
She's paddling a Canadian boat.
Yeah.
And yet you disparage her victory.
Let's get back to the real issue here. So the conditions are tough.
Conditions are tough.
So she paddles out. My partner paddles out. They do their little thing.
Around the sailboat.
I don't believe it.
And you went to the left of the sailboat.
I went to the right.
How old is this young lady? Who beat David?
She has not quite finished. The 30-pound girl had not quite finished her first decade of life.
So we're talking about a 9-year-old girl who incidentally beat Ray.
Yeah.
The 7'7", 412-pound.
You're painting her like a hero.
Well,
she's literally not a hero, David, because she beat you two knuckleheads.
What's it?
She is literally just a 9-year-old who did her job and didn't cheat. That's what I'm trying to say.
See, the difference between a race and figure skating is the first bow across the line wins. It's very objective, right? If her bow across the line before your bow did, she wins. And the judges have no impact on this, right?
Let's move on. Okay. Let's move on beyond me. Let's talk about you and how terrible you were out there. You're paddling around the wrong side of the boats. I was told to paddle on the left side of every boat.
Yeah.
And you went around on the right.
Keep
so really,
the boats
you were
on
cheating.
Your left, they said.
No, they said specifically.
Oh, they turned on you. The audience literally turned. What'd you say?
The metric system.
Oh, you've used the metric system, which is, okay, admittedly, a more efficient way of doing math, but it's cheating here in America.
I forget what is left in SI units.
I don't get it either.
Lagos.
Lagos. Right. With an E on the end.
Lagos.
Right? System International, yeah.
So can we all agree, do we feel very comfortable that Chris won this race?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Samantha won the race.
Yeah, you're only
Chris
as fast.
Chris just followed along on its curtails.
You're only as fast as your lead out 30-pound girl.
I should have gone first.
Yeah. Yeah. You really should have. Yeah. So then you could honestly say, I beat a 9-year-old. Yay! Look at me. How old are your daughters?
I don't know. 15, 13.
You don't know that for sure, though.
I'm confident.
You can't be sure.
I'm now thought
so you have to go home and look at your 13-year-old daughter and say, honey, you know what Daddy did in the States this weekend? Beat the shit out of another little girl who's 4 years younger than you.
Well, clearly he did not, so it's okay. Yeah.
This was all a ploy not to have to say that to your own daughter.
Anyways, we've opened up several issues that have been some complaints. The Olympic committee is working on it.
Yeah, there was a failed urine test.
There was a doping scandal.
Yeah. There was. Yeah. There was a doping scandal.
Yeah. It's a real can of worms.
Yeah. Pat Rhoda is getting in on this.
Speaking of
as the doping victim.
Another loser and steroid user.
Yeah, number one. All right. The old Milwaukee Tide Racing site was really running good today. And, you know, I can't complain. My crew chief had her piled in real nice. Little loose. We threw in a skeg rubber on that second buoy out there, and she settled in. And I think it was very clear that we were the winners, Greg and I. And we had a little issue with chemical testing. And my biggest problem with the race officials is I paid a student $30 for that urine. It wasn't even mine. It should have been clean. So I just need some assistance trying to get my $30 back from that guy. He clearly didn't sort of piss right for me.
He's already spent it, Pat, on Google Clusters and Bud Light. Nothing we can do about that.
I'd be drinking Old Mill if I were him.
Thank you, Pat Roderly.
Thank you,
Pat.
Well.
So here's the take home, right? Yep. David, loser. Okay? I'm just saying.
That's harsh.
It is harsh.
That's harsh.
Sometimes the truth is hard.
That's 60 grit, my friend.
Straight up.
There's 60 grit. 60. Two ways to finish the race.
Right.
You win or you lose.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, right.
So big round of applause for Chris Dressler.
Nice.
A pleasure chatting with you all. Viva La Roche.
Viva La Roche. So David, I think we should take away don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, I'm just real excited because, you know, I'm still a winner in my books.
Exactly. I'm sure you are.
My mother thinks I'm a winner.
Yeah. So. You know what? I like me. And my wife likes me.
Gosh darn it.
So I'm going to take this opportunity now to segue
I love Segways, by the way. Okay. I just rode one for the first time last weekend.
Really? How was that?
Yeah.
That was tragic.
It was awesome. I have pictures. You want to see pictures?
Were you like all over the road?
No, I was great at it. It turns out I'm a natural. I'm like if there was like an academy to send gifted mutant children who know how to ride Segway, I would be the instructor.
Really?
That's how good I am. Designed for seniors to drive around retirement.
They are literally designed for complete morons to not fall off. And I mastered it.
You're a champion.
You met that benchmark.
The guy of us who invented the Segway. I don't know if that's true or not.
He drove off a cliff.
He drove off a cliff.
Yeah, he did.
Wow. Yep. Oh, now the audience turns on me. Screw you people.
You're an idiot.
Wow. So the Segway guy drives a Segway off a cliff. All right. That's good. Hold on. Wait.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But before we get going I'd like to thank our sponsors of this podcast.
We have sponsors?
We do. We have P&H Kayaks, the finest of kayaks ever. Not only that. But we also have Warner Paddles. Warner Paddles, the finest paddle someone can put in their hand.
All right, there we go. A little bit of a pause, but they got on you.
They're interesting. And we also have Kokatat. Kokatat. Now, all of us paddle with Kokatat stuff.
I'm currently wearing a dry suit.
He's currently wearing a dry suit and no underpants, I can assure you. So Kokatat, ladies and gentlemen, great company. And then the last little cheap plug we're going to say for NRS, who, for me, provides me with all the dry bags and all the other ancillary stuff that you really need to get going on an expedition or a trip. So, NRS, do we love NRS or what?
Nice. Nice.
And then, as another cheap plug, the people who put this actual thing on, this whole thing.
Oh, the symposium.
Downwind Sports.
Nice, yeah.
Downwind Sports and Marquette and Hope. Bill, if you were here, I'd kiss you full on the mouth.
So. I always thought they were business that were always going downwind. Pretty good, eh?
Wow.
I just came up with that right now.
I believe. I literally think you wrote that on the way here.
I did. It's right here. On this.
Yep. Okay, so we got some news stories.
All right, here's our last story.
Oh, it's our last one.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't want to. I got to save some for next week.
Right.
All right. Possibly rabid beaver attacks paddleboarder. Get this. On Beaver Lake.
What's that?
Don't take my thunder. This is my thunder.
No, we've got an eyewitness.
We're Nashville on Beaver Lake, and there's
a... Whoa, come up.
Come on up. Come to the mic.
No, come on up.
We're a chopper and a local reporter.
This is Nellie from NRS. She lives in Asheville, North Carolina. And apparently, now you did, in point of fact, see the beaver attack. Tell us all about your beaver.
It was really hairy, but you know, there is a whole.
These are Canadians. They don't understand these jokes.
Okay. So in Asheville, in North Asheville, there's a lake called Beaver Lake, and where this happened. And
look at the computer. I don't care.
All right. And there's actually, they've made a memorial to the beaver.
No, they didn't.
In true fashion, there's a memorial to the beaver. You go online, you can find. R.I.P. Beaver.
What a waste. This is a vicious
beaver that attacked
animal.
The paddleboarder has a memorial to
it. Here.
Did amazing. They make hats?
All right, here, let's go to the facts here.
Okay.
So, this... all right.
Beaver in your...
It attacks... So, caught my throat there. Yeah. It's a story checks in. So, attacked a lady. She's out paddleboarding. How old is she? I don't know. 95. 67. She's been paddling for 22 years.
Paddleboarding for 22 years?
No. Ooh. No, she switched out. She's moved sports.
Okay.
Yeah. She saw a big splash, but I didn't see what the splash was from, said Betsy Bent.
It's worst
Betsy
name.
Bent? Betsy Bent from 67. She's been there for 22 years.
22.
The beaver came up under the board, knocked my board over, and latched onto my leg and wouldn't let go. Maybe we could do a reenactment or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll pantomime it.
I didn't know what was going on at the time. I didn't think there was any Jaws in Beaver Lake, but clearly there is.
So she's comparing a giant beaver. Actually, not even
a giant
beaver.
Not just a giant beaver, a normal-sized beaver.
A regular old beaver to Jaws.
Yeah. Okay. Attacked her. Knocked her over. Vicious. Can't believe it's getting a memorial.
Yeah.
And now it's got a statue?
You know, what hipsters love to do stuff like this. There's a whole memorial dedicated to the rabid beaver of Beaver Lake.
It's just froth pouring out of his mouth.
Beaver down or something? Was the beaver?
I'm not sure where the beaver is.
Yeah, I got story.
Beaver is Aaron.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
So once she fell in the water, the beaver kept attacking. I was yelling, help, help, I'm being bitten. I'm being bitten. A very nice fisherman. His name was Herb.
Herb?
Now, yeah, Herb.
Charlie?
Well,
I'll tell you.
Herb, yeah. Herb, I'll say Herb.
He came over. They pulled the beaver off. And it came around a third time to attack, and it bit her hand. At this point, I think, like, why are you still in the water?
No,
like,
wait. This beaver has got, like, a personal vendetta against this woman.
Well, her name is Betsy Bent. I would as well.
You're a hateful man.
Well,
what did Betsy ever do to you?
It's the overflow. It's the bitterness of the race today. Right. Sorry?
Yeah. Beaver didn't go for the jugular.
No.
He went for the
leggy, awesome.
The tree-est looking thing.
Yeah. Imagine that would have been awesome, eh? Blood going all over. Asheville Police Department Animal Control was notified, and they went and caught it, and they killed it.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see a sitcom, like a cops kind of thing. Asheville Beaver Control.
Da, 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 da.
Control.
It's a hairy situation.
Reality TV.
There you go.
No,
actually, Gene from NRS, give her a big round of applause, please.
And you know, the funny thing is, one of her fellow employees listens to this podcast religiously, so he's actually going to know the story before she gets back home.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Yep. So the beaver attacks.
Yeah.
Latches onto that leg.
Like three times.
Three times.
Where did it get her? Twice in the leg,
they
once in the throat? No, arm. Hand.
They say that hippopotami. I'm the hippopotamus. They say that hippopotamus are angry. It sounds like they have never encountered a beaver.
No, they haven't.
Little,
you know,
little
I learned
rabid
the other day,
beaver.
Or a rabid beaver.
Okay, so they're the most violent. They kill more people in
are we talking about hippos? Or are we talking
hippos.
I thought you meant
dangerous animals in Africa.
Okay.
Well, beavers are too.
Yeah, hippos do.
Okay, so then somebody asked a question online and said, well, why are they not attacking at the zoo? Well, basically, they just keep shoving food in those things. They have to, like, overfeed those. Otherwise,
really?
They do start taking down children. And
you know they're in cages, right? Like, they can't just get out and walk around and eat children.
You never know. Those things are vicious.
I'm actually
children
really...
crawl into cages, though.
They do. And that's actually part of the fun. That's why I go to the zoo.
Did you see that?
That's an awful thing to say. It's true, but it's awful. Yeah, so I find it odd that I'm up here with three Canadians, and they don't know everything there is to know about beavers.
Not that beaver.
That beaver's dynamite.
Le Castor. Isn't it Le Castor? Isn't that in French? Le Castor?
Le Castor? I don't even know what that means.
Is it? Am I right?
Yeah.
I know my French.
Le Castor? It's a beaver.
Le Castor?
Yeah.
En français?
En français.
Oui. All right, then.
This is an international show.
It really is. All right, so that is our news stories. I hope you learned a little something from the news stories.
Watch out for beavers on Beaver Lake.
On Beaver Lake. There we go. Excellent. We met.
Let's get Bill up here and talk about this race a bit more.
Yeah,
Bill is the race organizer.
He's going right back. Bill, if you could come and join us.
I think we need
Bill,
an intervention.
Give him a round of
here.
Applause. Bill Thompson from Downwind Sports. No, keep going. Keep it going.
Here he comes. He's coming another round. There he is. There we are. All right.
There we go. Bill Thompson.
Let's get to the issues. So I'm a winner, and you made me a loser.
You mean a
loser? Boo.
Are you talking about coaching, or are we talking about the race?
Let's talk about the race. What went through your mind to make such a poor decision today?
No, this was not an individual decision. This was a group decision based on the events, the actual events that happened. But before we get into
lack of responsibility.
Well, I would like to compliment Ray on his shawl tonight. I really like that shawl.
And I have to thank Edith, since I was feeling a little chill. Edith provided me with the shawl, and I'm feeling much better now. Thank you, Edith.
Very nice, very nice.
So let's get serious, people. So I'm still a winner. When are you going to mail that vest my way?
Well,
we don't need to tell anybody.
We're hoping that you come back. I do have a blue ribbon for you that I can give you today as a participant of the event. We can give you a blue ribbon.
I'll take that blue ribbon, even knowing that it's a pity award. I was the camper of the week when I was 9 years old at camp. Let me tell you this story.
I'm going to bring the room down now. Let's dim the lights. This is a story.
And I was so proud when segment. I got home because
hang on,
I was
hang on. The we, this is a little segment we like to call The Life of David Johnston.
So I was so proud because I was the camper of the week. Because I thought I was the best camper there.
Were you the only kid there that week?
Until my mother reminded me about a year ago that I had terrible poison ivy, and she said, you know, it was just a pity award.
What a great mom. What a great mom.
So I feel, wow.
David,
again,
there's something I need to tell you because I can't let you live with the pride you have. Remember that one thing you were so proud of at church camp? Yeah, it's because you got a disease.
Yeah, it was terrible. I remember that. It was a real itchy week.
Well, okay, so let's get back to this race and why you lost. So we
no, it's why I didn't win.
But yeah, the real reason is there were two problems with your performance today. The first one was following the directions.
I feel I'm about to get fired.
The counterclockwise. That was new this year.
It threw me off, right from the beginning. I know it threw a lot of these audience members off.
And the last buoy was named Mojo.
Yeah.
And you actually cut the corner. And
the evidence points that it's not my fault.
Yeah. Usually we would let that go.
Yeah. It's your mojo, man.
Usually we would let that go.
It's your mojo.
But we also noticed, reviewing the tape, that you were pulling a sea anchor, and that is illegal.
It was not my fault.
I know
Ray was pulling a sea anchor at the same time.
I also was pulling a sea anchor.
And Ray did not win either.
That's true. Right. Ray's a loser.
Yeah.
Let's get to that.
Also a loser. Thank
but the only Canadian at this table that has actually won this race
is Ray.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Ma'am. I'll let you know. Okay, so you get the Paisley vest.
Yeah. No.
You're supposed to send photos out.
The coveted.
Coveted Paisley vest. Paisley vest.
Yeah.
I want you to know that there's no chance that the winners this year are going to send photos. And I had already pre-planned at least 15 photos already. Well, you're not going to be getting those photos.
What about some blue ribbon photos?
That doesn't make you any more deserving.
If you would have told me that before the race,
you
still would have lost.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Thompson.
Thank you.
Good deal. So
let's admit he's a terrible human being.
Bill is like, if you say he's a terrible, that's like punching Mother Teresa in the stomach. Like just giving her a sucker punch. Oh, how's the poor? By the way, give her one of those things. Bill is a saint. Oh, I got one of these. Thank you. This is fantastic.
I noticed my gin and tonic disappeared.
Yeah, you're getting another one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because the more we drink, the more you drink, better we are. All right, so we've got a couple more things we want to do here. First of all, we have one of our friends, and you've actually heard him already, Mr. Patrick Rota, has done a circumnavigation of Île Royale.
Is that French?
Oui.
Oui. Oui. Now, we wanted him to talk about this.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't have a lot of time because we don't care.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't even know where it is.
So it's that big place.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Okay. But we do actually care about Pat. So if we can get him up here, he's going to do the 45-second circumnavigation story of Isle Royale.
I can't wait. Here it comes.
Bring it up.
All right. Welcome to the hot seat. Welcome to the hot seat.
So basically, you know, I flew up back to Detroit where I live, threw the boat in the car, took her up to Keweenaw, take the ferry across to Rock Harbor.
Okay.
You take a left there in Rock Harbor.
Okay.
Keep the land on your left.
Okay.
You go about 55 miles. You can pick up like a six-pack in Windigo.
Okay.
The southwest end of the island and just take another left, keep land on your left. You're right back in Rock Harbor in just like a few days.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty good trip.
Good work.
Bring a flare, baby.
Bring a flare.
Bring a flare. And that was our 45-minute circumnavigation, folks. Expect more of this, because this is the kind of quality entertainment we bring for you. Oh, look at that. I got more drinks. Good deal.
Ooh, excellent. Thank you.
Fabulous. Everybody give a big round of applause to the lovely and talented Edith. There we go. So the last thing we want to do this evening, and I hope you guys all thought of some questions for the panel up here. And they don't have to be about kayaking. They can be about anything. We prefer kayaking because it is, you know, kayak mainline. But if you have questions about life,
Love. For one thing, Ray Boucher is a licensed and certified male prostitute.
I heard about that.
Yes.
Did you get that pamphlet?
No. Yeah, I do have a pamphlet. Canadian and Prostitution, Your Friend to the Great White North is what it was called.
So I'm never getting a job now.
No, you're pretty much done. Thank you. Okay, if your bosses listen to this podcast, you probably don't want that job, Sunshine. All right. So does anybody have any questions? Oh, this lady, come on up, ma'am. Come on right up. Yeah, it requires a little walking. Okay,
I hope this requires commitment.
It does require commitment. All right, so step right in here, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Mary.
And where are you from, Mary?
Manitowoc.
I'm sorry?
Minocqua.
No, I heard you. I'm just sorry.
Oh. I am too. Proceed. At this moment.
Proceed on. What is your question?
My question is, I'm confused because I think I'm in Grand Marais, Minnesota. How do I know I'm in Grand Marais, Michigan?
Good question, everybody. Okay. Thank you.
This happens a lot.
Thank you, Mary, from Minocqua. Wonderful place, by the way, in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's an island, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I didn't know you can paddle all the way around it.
Really?
Yeah. Just like Pat Rota, you can drink all the way around it, too. It's fantastic. So this is actually a very good question that you brought up, because my friends here, the last time you guys were here, mm-hmm. as I recall, you put in the old GPS, I'm going to Grand Marais. And what happened?
Eric panicked.
Eric did panic.
Yeah.
From Toronto, this is how far? Michigan, Grand Marais, Michigan?
Good.
From Michigan.
Week trail?
Like 10 hours, right? To get
from Michigan?
Yeah. 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 Now, how far is it to Grand Marais, Minnesota, as you found out and panicked? 72 hours?
I think it was like 48.
48
49
hours.
49 and a half
right.
hours.
So there's a discrepancy.
There's a few hour discrepancy. So I guess the question is, what makes you realize that you're in Grand Marais, Michigan, over Grand Marais, Minnesota?
I don't know. Does anybody go to the other one?
Nobody goes to the other one. It's actually a desolate hole. In the middle of Minnesota. It's all canoers?
Yeah.
If you see sea kayaks on the top of your vehicle, you're here in Grand Marais, Michigan. If you only see canoes, you're in Grand Marais, Minnesota, I think. Do you? Plus, it's a different state. So that's a tip-off. That's one of the flags for me that it's a different state entirely.
I think from your house, you have to turn left.
Oh, yeah, from you.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you go right to go to Grand Marais, Michigan.
Right. So if you're driving and you go, this is suspicious. I'm actually going left and I want to go to Michigan. Do tell. Probably going the wrong way, right? So, that's what I would suggest.
Who's got another question? Another question.
That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. Come on up here. No, I have not now nor ever been a member of the Communist Party. Hello, ma'am. What's your name?
Sue Svensson. From Traverse City.
From TC.
Yeah.
TC, Michigan.
I'm wondering if you experts can tell me, what is a kayak anyways?
What is a kayak? Oh. Ooh, that's a hard-hitting question.
We're going right to deep questions.
So here's the weird part about that. We're actually at a kayak symposium. So if you're asking that question, chances are we've got some bigger issues. So, all right, give me your definition. Eric Ogar, Captain Canada.
Tapered at both ends.
So is a canoe, though.
You sit in the middle.
A thingy in the middle.
A thingy in the middle.
Yeah. I'm sticking
with
it.
We are experts.
It's a canoe with a lid.
It's a canoe with a lid. I got that. All right. So my suggestion on this one, the way I would describe this is, and I think I'm right on this one, actually.
Of course you are.
I try to be right on many things. So canoe, you actually sit or kneel, okay? And a kayak, you sit up. Your center of gravity is higher. In a kayak, you sit right down on the bottom, okay? So
on your tushy.
And then it's the paddle that you use. So you use a kayak paddle.
That's a giveaway. Yeah, yeah.
That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Versus a canoe paddle. So you can actually canoe a kayak and kayak a canoe if you want to, but it's the position in which you sit. So the original kayak that we see in our modern day is called a Bidarka.
Yep.
Right? Also known as a Rob Roy. Rob Roy McGregor was this British dude who had a funny accent and way too much time and money. And he came over to the United States, 15 years ago?
I don't know, 7 or 8.
1800s or something like that.
Yeah,
it was a while ago. And he saw the indigenous people, and he thought, oh, that's charming. Of course they're charming. I think I'll take their boat design and paddle it by the Thames.
This is straight from the History Channel.
This is literally, I'm
drunk history?
This is drunk history. That is damn Brits. No. So then this British guy, he grabs a sort of a copy of Abdarka, and he brings it back, and he passes it to him, and it was a Rob Roy.
That was a big deal.
It was quite the thing. You remember that? Yeah. Because it was in the 1800s.
Everybody's running down to the banks. What is that? Yeah.
He actually started the first canoe club, the British Canoe Union.
Yeah, then started a riot later.
And that he did?
Yeah.
Right?
It's the Rob Roy riots of 1975.
Canoes Live Matters. Yeah. Right there. Okay, good. All right, so that's the difference right there. The way you sit and the paddle you use. That's what I think. You guys buying this?
You should. It is accurate.
It is actually very accurate. Any other questions for us?
One more question.
Oh, wow.
Come on down here.
Can you swear? I prefer it, actually. The kids are gone. Yeah, get right on up. Sidle up to me. Come on. Give me some.
So one.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Lisa.
Lisa?
I'm from the Ann Arbor area.
The Ann Arbor area. Okay. Okay.
So,
welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
So either one of you or all of you, what's your biggest oh shit moment on a trip?
Oh, that's a
Ray
really
has
good
got
one.
So many.
Everybody, big round of applause.
Nice.
The oh shit moment. Yeah, I'm probably the least competent up
for
here,
me,
so I probably
it
have the
was
most. But
last weekend.
Please, last weekend.
In the middle of the crossing.
So
we're crossing.
Yeah.
The Lake Ontario crossing.
So for those of you guys who don't know, and this is pretty cool, these two gentlemen to my left right now, David and Eric, Captain Canada, they crossed one of the Great Lakes. They crossed Lake Ontario last weekend. Granted, they picked the smallest part, but
it was just across a bay.
Right.
Like, just this little stretch at the end is about 40 feet. It's pretty tough.
Yep.
Then we got our story straight.
Right.
We did.
So, and I actually did on Facebook, I saw pictures, and one of them turned around, and there was a picture of just nothing but water everywhere, and they said, I think Toronto, someplace there.
Yeah.
But, so you had a no shit moment on that.
Yeah.
Tell me.
It's a long crossing, man.
Yeah, so shit, what have I done?
Yeah. So that was 54
kilometers. Wait, what did we just learn from Rhoda? Bring a flare.
Yeah, flares solve all problems.
Or something.
Yeah.
I had some mini flares with me.
Or a blanket. A blanket or a towel if you're a Douglas Adams fan.
Tissue. When he cries.
So, yeah. It happened a couple times.
So you guys took some students, so this is pretty cool. You actually took some students. Yep. They trained for how many months?
6 weeks.
Okay.
We had fast track.
A month. That's good. Yeah. Well, you know, it's Canadian conversion, so that's cool. Yep. So you crossed over. Over to the other side.
We did.
So you went. But
10
actually,
and a half hours.
10 and a half hours in a boat.
Yep.
And what made you say, oh shit?
It's a long crossing.
Okay. So you just decided to give up halfway through?
Well, yeah. I had to talk him off the ledge.
That's right.
He really talked me off the ledge.
Cool. What about you, David?
One time I got stuck having to do a night paddle for 6 hours.
Oh, this is a good one.
Don't hype it up.
No, it's going to be great. Now sell us.
This is like hallucinating stuff.
Let's start with this. Yeah. So it started in the morning at 6 a.m. when I decided to do a 22-kilometer crossing.
Ooh, 22 kilometers. That's 4 miles. 4 miles.
4 miles.
Roughly 4 to 7 miles. Canadian.
So we crossed over. And then decided to paddle another 10 kilometers up to our crossing, or to our campsite. In which case, we then decided, let's just keep going. And we went around, this was on Superior, a long time ago.
What was going through your head? Like, okay, this is where we're going to stay the night, but you know what?
Well, okay.
Screw it.
So it's
a Forrest Gump moment.
Yeah, it's very much like
run,
that.
Run, Jenny, run.
Okay, so we were, for people who might know, there's a place called Point Isacore along the North Shore, and it's a big stretch of cliffs that you, I don't know, what's that? Maybe about 8 kilometers? 4 or 5 miles? That's all rounded out to about 15 kilometers. So, it's pretty long. Anyways, if the wind's blowing anywhere out of the south, you can't get past. You're just stuck because it bounces off and you're just stuck there. So it's kind of a bit of a wall. So the original plan was this is going to be perfect. We're going to camp. We're going to be out the next morning. We'll get around it. Then the winds are going to come in later the next day. No problem. So then we sat around for a couple hours at the campsite and then we listened to the radio and they said, oh, it's coming in 6 hours sooner. And then my friend Sean said, if we don't go now, we're going to get stuck for like 4 days at this place. So we ignored the fact that we had already paddled 30 kilometers that morning and it was 9 o'clock and we decided to go paddling and get around this thing. And we got stuck doing a 6 hour night paddle and we're hallucinating and he's seen big boats killing us and I've seen dead bodies in the water and yeah, good times.
Yeah, magical.
Yeah, it was deep and beautiful.
There you go.
The flare would have solved the problem, definitely.
Flares do a whole lot.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyways, yeah, it was a good example for everybody.
Ray Boucher?
Well, last year I decided I had a few days off before I had to make the next excursion with my wife on the holiday weekend.
Patty Boucher, the lovely and talented
Patty Boucher.
Sorry, ladies, he's taken.
I decided that I should paddle the Puckasaw section of Lake Superior because I had never done the thing in its entirety before. So my daughter brought me up and dropped me off at the takeout, or the put-in at Pick River. And I launched up the river, and as I came out and saw the river mouth, I saw the largest surf, essentially, that I've ever seen in my life. And I realized, well, my ride's gone, so there's nothing I can do. I might as well just keep going. So I paddled out through the surf, and I lost all my maps. My spare paddles are flopping around. They're tied in the front, but they came out from underneath the deck lines and underneath the bungees. They're flopping around, and I paddled out through the surf into probably the largest waves I've ever paddled in. And I just spent the whole day wondering if I was going to find somewhere that I could actually land, because all I could see was white and cliff for most of the afternoon. And as the sun began to set, I finally found a sandy beach that I could land on for roughly a very rough surf landing, but I made it, and as I say, it's history. But
there you go. How long was that trip?
How long was the trip?
The solo trip, how long was it?
I did this is good. In about 2.5 days.
Two and a half days. Now, how long does it normally take to cover that whole North Shore?
8 to 10.
8 to 10 days, and he did it in two and a half. Wonder why Ray is like this scary superhero from Canada. Yeah, I'll just finish it up. Yeah, that's a time saver. I'm going to do a 10-hour trip in 2 days. I got places to be.
It's all the time I had.
That's right. There nice. You go. So I was trying to think, as these guys were talking, my biggest oh shit moment. And like I said, I'm probably the worst paddler at this table. So I've had plenty. But I recount when I first started kayaking back in the old timey times. And I found myself down in James Island, South Carolina. And I was a punk whitewater kid. Very limited experience. Woo, there we go. Yeah, big ups. Okay. One whitewater.
We have a local.
Yeah, one whitewater paddler in the whole group. And I wasn't afraid of rough water, but I had no ability to paddle my boat straight in a sea kayak sense or navigate or even understand what those big water points were. And I was down there in South Carolina, and a fellow by the name of Dale Williams, who is a pretty prolific paddler these – or he used to be. I don't know how much he does anymore, but he's a fantastic paddler. And the evening prior to this story, he comes by and I said, "Hey, Dale, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for someone to help me with the surf class."
Go on.
Yeah. So I said, "Oh, that's cool." He says, "Well, do you want to help?" And I said, "Dale, I'm not a very good sea kayaker, but I'll help with the surf class. I mean, if it's just surfing on waves, I get that." He says, "Oh, yeah, that'll be cool. It'll be fine." All right, I'm in. So the next morning, we wake up and we start paddling in these newfangled long pointy sea kayaks. We start paddling along, and I should have known better at this point, because I had told him I didn't know jack about sea kayaking. And we look up, and all I see are waves ahead of us. So we're going out of this river, the James River, out right. into what is considered on the East Coast the best surf area, biggest surf area you can possibly find on James Island. So he says, "Hey, how big do those waves look?" What do I know? So I'm like, I just made up numbers. I'm like 3 or 4. He's like, "Yeah, that's what I thought too." Okay. So he's clearly following my lead in bad judgment right there. I don't even think he even looked up. So we start paddling, and they were in three to four feet for about 12 seconds. And we had 6 participants. There was one other coach. And I was paddling in, and all of a sudden I'm in 8 to 10 foot waves.
Really?
I mean, ginormous, like thundering waves.
I would poo my pants.
I didn't have the time. I was a little busy not defecating myself. But they were so big that I actually had to reach over. When the waves would come in, I'd reach over the crest of the wave to dig in. And I got hit so hard, it felt like I was getting hit by a car accident.
Really?
Or by a car every time. So I've got 2 participants. And I had, like, learned a T-rescue maybe 7 minutes prior. And I got these 2 guys who are like, "We're with you, Kelly. You're the best guy ever. You're our guy." Dale takes off with his 2. There's some dude in the back. I don't remember his name, but he's in the back. I can't see him. Like, it went from relatively flat to the horizon is gone. Like, South Carolina has disappeared. And all I have are these 2 guys who are counting on me to keep them alive. Little did they know, I had no ability to do that.
Of course.
So I grabbed the bull by the horns, and I'm like, no one's dying on my watch. And we're in a surf zone, and I didn't know anything about what I was doing. So had I known what I was doing, I would realize that if I paddled like 30 feet ahead of myself, I would be completely out of it. So here I am trying to be Mr. Tough Guy, and I grab one guy, and he's out of his boat. He flips out of his boat, and I grab him, and I do the T-rescue really quickly, and I think I'm a badass, right? And I get him back in, and I get him in, and I'm like, you're all right. And he says, yes, and the other guy flips over.
Of course.
So I go over there, and I get him back in, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Are you all right? Yep, the first guy flips over. And it was like this Laurel and Hardy moment for like what seemed to be 4 hours. It was probably like
two minutes, four minutes.
Where I'm, and I finally just get mad, and I'm like, "All right, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to put you in, and I'm going to drag it." And I made them get together, and I said, "Hold on to one another." Now, in my experience, I could have just let us drift back, and 30 feet later, we'd have been calm water. But not me. I didn't know anything. So I'm thinking, "Oh shit, I'm going to die." We got 8 to 10 foot waves just beating me. I got these two guys together. I pull out the old trusty tow rope, lock in, and I start paddling, hell-bent for leather. Right. In the meantime, Dale comes surfing over like a freaking god, like a Greek god. He's like, oh, I'm Kayakus.
Like Eric.
Man of the hour. Yeah, he looked like Eric for just a moment. He's like, how are you here? And I'm like, I'm great. Because, ego is a really dumb thing to have.
Right.
But he's like, okay, I'm going to go find so-and-so who's back here. I think they're dead. I don't know if he said that, but that's what I heard. And so he surfs away. So the entire help I could have had, I sent away because of my ego.
Good.
And so I start towing, hell-bent for leather, and I tow for what was ostensibly 45 feet, and we're in nice rolling waves, and the two guys he brought through were just sitting there going, what took you? We were watching you. So, but I did all of this in a surf zone, and I thought we were all going to die. And then so the addendum to this is a year later, I'm down teaching at Sea Kayak Georgia at the BCU week.
Yeah.
This dude comes, we're having a shrimp boil. It's a magical time. Everything's great. And this guy walks up, and he says, hey, you remember when you saved my life in James Island last year? I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember you're like Tony or something like that. And we got to talk, and he goes over and gets a beer. Another guy walks up. Oh, by the way, you're Kelly Blades, right? And I said, yeah. You saved my life. I'm like, there's a dude I want you to meet. And so I brought these two guys together. As far as I know, they're still friends to this day. But I brought them back together. So
wow. You're such a trooper.
That is my oh shit moment. All of you guys, thank you. So do we have any? Oh, I got a standing ovation from one.
Nice.
Person. All right, well, do we have any other questions? Any other questions, comments, answers?
Good question.
No questions?
Good question.
All right, good. I mean, I think we are good. Are you guys satisfied with this episode of Kayak Mainline? Best one ever.
Best one ever. First one ever.
First one live.
There's 18 other episodes out there.
Yeah.
You got hours to get through.
Yeah, if you got a long drive at home, this is really going to put you to sleep by St. Ignace.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'd like to say thank you guys for helping us with this. I hope this is going to be a great podcast. I'm sure it will. So give yourself a round of applause. And then I'd also like to say thank you to Ray and Eric for joining us, the two Canadians.
My pleasure.
Pat Rhoda, Nelly from NRS, Chris Dressley, the real winner of the race, and Bill Thompson, of course, and Edith for bringing us drinks all the way through.
It's a real team effort. Real team effort this time.
And she brought Ray a shawl.
Right? Yeah.
So she's
a beautiful lime green. What color is that? Is that lime green?
Sure. It's lovely. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's good.
It's more hermit green.
So, as always, David, you got anything more?
I got no more.
Dude, it was fantastic hanging out with you and doing this, watching you drink and try to defend your position of beating a 9-year-old.
Well, there's a committee that's been formed, as we all understand.
Right.
So yeah, we're going to see justice tomorrow.
No justice.
Come out. So,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, from me, Kelly Blades, and David Johnson, this is the end of the first live Kayak Mainline podcast. Thank you for joining us. Remember to tip your waitresses. The 7:30 show is completely different from the 9:30 show. We are done.